This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with James Scully. It's your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in and talk about whatever you'd like in the world of thoroughbred racing. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. James, we had a very strange weekend of racing last week. I thought the Fountain of Youth was going to be the best three-year-old race of the year to date. It turned into be a real dud because of all the scratches. We thought we were going to see possibly the best three-year-old in the country in Nisos run out west. He ended up scratching. We saw the two-year-old Philly champ from last year scratch out of the Devona Dale. We saw Big Cap Day on a Sunday instead of a Saturday. Just a bizarro world, my friend.
That it was. Good evening, Bobby. Hello to everybody listening. Yeah, I mean, we had three Derby preps on Saturday and one on Sunday. And, you know, I don't think we learned a whole lot from those races. I did think that Gotham, you know, the top two from that race are very interesting moving forward. But that race was over a sloppy track, and they still had to go two turns. But it was encouraging to see Dornick come back, but he didn't really do much. And I don't think went all out at by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't really know what he gets out of that Fountain of Youth win on Saturday.
I'd love to hear what our callers thought of the performances from Dornock in Deterministic and Imagination and Encino for his win in the John Battaglia Memorial. Let's go out to the phones. Patrick in Kentucky, you're on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Patrick.
I enjoyed watching the three-year-old preps. I agree, Dornock, visually and speed number-wise, just didn't pop. You know, it's his first race back. Maybe he'll improve. But and then Deterministic, you know, I guess he looked good, but it's just tough to take anything from the New York series until, you know, somebody actually does run well in the Derby. And Encino, you know, I thought he looked all right for a second race starter. And then Imagination, I thought maybe he looked the best. Just if for nothing else, he ran a decent number, and man, he got knocked sideways going into that first turn.
Yeah, I think you're all that. So, is there anything that you saw, Patrick, this last weekend that makes you say, I think this year's Kentucky Derby winner ran last Saturday or Sunday?
No, I don't think so. None of them really impressed me, and I don't know. Right now, I guess maybe Timberlake is looking pretty good. So I'm looking forward to these next rounds. You know, the Risen Star, I thought Sierra Leone looked good. But, yeah, so far I haven't seen anybody that I think is that I can say, wow, I think that's my horse for the Derby.
All right. Did you have a question, Patrick?
No, just my other comment is I did enjoy that Santa Anita had to move their Big Cap car to Sunday. Thought it was nice to be able to enjoy it by itself and not have to watch it with all the other stakes racing going on Saturday.
All right, interesting take. We appreciate the call, Patrick. Thanks so much. So James, Patrick doesn't think that he saw this year's Derby winner run this last weekend. I'm going to have to agree with him. Listen, I was against Dornock in the Fountain of Youth to begin with. I thought he was a horse I wanted to bet against. I thought that Locked and Speakeasy and Victory Avenue were all horses that could be better than Dornock. And when they all scratched, he won. Maybe by default, he beat really basically nothing, and he didn't do it very easily. I could be completely off on this, James. Wherever Dornock shows up next, whether it's the Florida Derby or the Bluegrass, I'm going to try to beat him.
That's a fair point. I will say this for him. He's won three in a row now. It took him three races to break his maiden, and both Danny Gargan, his trainer, and Luis Saez, his rider, after his last two races, which were both wins, all they can do is just talk about what a goofball head case he is. So to me, I do buy, you know, you can just look at him. I mean, he is a like physical specimen in a sense. I mean, he is like well muscled, well defined, and athletic looking with a long stride. So I do think he has the potential. I mean, I like his chances to win, a big race or two down the road or more. I just don't think he's going to be ready for the Derby. I mean, he had a rough trip in the Remsen due to his own doing. And like I said, I just don't think he gets out a lot out of that Fountain of Youth. One thing's for certain, he's won his last three races leading from the start, you know, and, you know, with the exception of being briefly passed by Sierra Leone, pretty much all the way in those races. And Danny Gargan talked after the Fountain of Youth that he was trained him the entire time to rate that Saez was taking him back off of horses. And all that changed, first off, when Victory Avenue left, he was a probable pace setter, but then they expected to sit second to Speak Easy, and all that changed when he scratched. So he's still going to experiment with that. And I don't know if that will, he's just like, to me, behind the curve in terms of like, you know, to run in the Derby, that's a really hard race and you have to have your head on straight a little bit.
All right. Appreciate the call, Patrick. By the way, Patrick also liked the Big Cap Day being run on a Sunday instead of a Saturday against Fountain of Youth Day and Gotham Day. You might have liked it, Patrick, but the handle was way down compared to last year. So running on a Saturday when a lot of people are allowed and a lot of people are out and handicapping and watching big races already, I think at least in the past, has proven money-wise to be a better plan for Big Cap Day. We'll see what they do going on. But
that race used to historically be on Sundays. I heard some tale about that, and then it changed because they made it for like a TV event and then went to Saturdays moving forward. But
forget the Big Cap used to be one of the biggest races in the country. And let's face it, it's not right now. I mean, it's, you know, if you say what, yeah. if you give somebody their top five races, top 10 races, what they think are important races around the country or around, you know, for American based runners, the Big Cap is not going to be in the top 10 right now. The purse has gone down. The luster has gone down. But it did turn out to be
those international races have drawn a bunch of good horses that could potentially
run and there. Let's face it. I mean, you're running for $20 million in Saudi Arabia and $12 million in Dubai. You know, the big, and even $3 million in the Pegasus now. The Big Cap is just not simply what it was in the past. Let's take a couple more calls before our next break. Will in Las Vegas, you're on the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Will.
Good. So, yeah, I was just listening to what you guys were saying about Door Knock and couldn't agree more. Like, I was definitely against that horse going in. I kind of, like, locked in that race. But all the scratches and all that, you know, I think he definitely kind of fell into yet another victory. And he's a decent horse, but, I mean, definitely the plodding running that he does at the end just isn't something that I look for in a horse.
All right, so you were a locked fan going into the race. Will, what would be your best guess of where we see locked next? He missed the Sam Davis, supposedly. He was sick and he missed a work, but then he came back and worked well, and he was going to be one of the favorites, if not the favorite, in the Fountain of Youth. He ends up scratching that morning. We don't find out till the next day from Todd Pletcher that something about, I took him out of his stall and jogged him on Saturday morning like I always do, and I didn't like it, so we scratched him. But he looked good Sunday morning. If the race were Sunday instead of Saturday, we would have run, which seems very, very odd to me. And the only thing that Todd Pletcher has said, Will, is that I don't know where Locked is going to be next, but he's not running in the Tampa Bay Derby, which to me seemed like the logical place for him to run. So where do you think you'll see Locked next?
Yeah, and I'm not too worried about him getting a race in. What I was hoping for maybe next is the Florida Derby for him. That way he'll get enough points, get that one race under his belt, and then go into the Derby for that. And kind of the other thing I'm thinking too is that might be the only option to get the points, because Baffert's sitting out here with a lot of three-year-olds and just scratched nice. So I can't think that he's going to run them all in the Santa Anita Derby. So you'd think
he'll have other options, though, Will. I mean, he could ship him to Arkansas or New York. He may want to stay away from Keeneland and the Bluegrass. But one thing's for certain, he's already committed fierceness. You know, he's trained well after that disappointing third in the Holy Bull. So I do think that if he's going to run fierceness in the Florida Derby, like he says, he might be looking for a different race for Locked.
Yeah, and that will be tough depending on, you know, where Muth ends up in the Arkansas Derby or anything else like that, because that's just going to take away the points, because you don't get the same points for running second and third, right?
Yeah, no, but you get 50 for running second. That's probably, you know, that's going to put you in pretty good shape to get in. I mean, that's going to put you in. So you need to be first or second in that race. And a horse like Locked already has points. He ran third in the Breeders' Cup and won the Breeders' for Charity. So he'll be just fine, perhaps even running third and getting 25 points for that. But one thing's for certain, though, it's going to be hard to win the Derby, not to run in it, but to win the Derby off of only one prep. So that's the big thing. And like, sort of, you know, you can't leave out the fact that, hey, I mean, just getting into the starting gate is starting to become an issue for him. So we'll see if he can even get back in the coming weeks.
Yeah, definitely agree with you.
All right, well, appreciate the call. Thanks so much. We will be looking for where Locked shows up, just as I assume you will be. You know, checking, reading the stories every day, and hopefully that information will come out sooner than later. Let's get one more call before the break. Tom in St. Louis, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, guys. I am today's entrant in Where is Locked Going to Be Found At? And I've spent the afternoon on this. It's entirely too much time.
Don't say the St. Louis Derby. Please don't say the St. Louis Derby.
No. I did say that's where whatchamacallit should have been, Rich Strike. But no, not this one. All right. I've got this the way I got this figured. And I'm going to give a little history lesson after I'm done. Go back and look at Palace Malice. I think he's going to run him on the 23rd of March in the Louisiana Derby. He's either got to do that or the Jeff Ruby, and he's not going to run him on Polly. And he does have points already, so unlike what Will said, points isn't the number one thing. The number one thing is to get two preps in him before the Derby. And I agree, he can't go to the Bluegrass and run against Fierceness. He can't wait until the 30th and run in the Florida Derby. A, he'll be going against a stable, Nate, at least one, and maybe the horse that ran off the other day, they might run that horse back in the Florida Derby. And you never know if this horse is going to get in the gate. So you better have the safety, enter this horse for the Louisiana Derby on the 23rd. Then you come back on 3 weeks, and you get the Lexington in. And you don't have to have him just fine-tuned and ready to go in the Lexington, a.k.a. like Pletcher did with Super Saver. Just have him, you know, ready to go and win that race. I believe that Pletcher trained Super Saver in 10. It came back and ran in the Lexington. And
no,
then you
well,
come back
that's
on
all right.
Three,
go ahead.
And then you come back and run him on 3 weeks like you did, and then you can run him on the Derby. So you can run him on 3 weeks rest twice and run him on the Derby. And that's what Pletcher also did with Palace Malice when he had the hiccup in the Louisiana Derby and had to shift and take him to the Arkansas Derby to get points. Unfortunately, and it's my worst gambling mistake I've ever made, was that Palace Malice came out in the Kentucky Derby. And, James, I know you bet other sports. If they ever had the bet on the Derby like they do in college basketball, the race to 20 points in the first half, that would have been a great bet for Palace Malice. And I X'd that Derby off and forgot about him. And then 5 weeks later, he came back on his rested schedule and won the Belmont and looked dominant.
At double-digit odds.
That's where I think. And I like Locke as a second. Look, I like Fierceness still against the rest of the field. But if you had to give me another one, the old Tiger Woods bet, Tiger Woods or the rest of the field, I'd still take Fierceness to this day, because I haven't seen a three-year-old yet that's really impressed me that I think it could be a rival. But if you had to give me a second choice, I think it'd be the stablemate Locked.
All right, appreciate the call, Tom. All right, so, I mean, you remember Super Saver obviously very well, James.
Yeah, he ran in the Arkansas Derby, ran like ahead or next second to Lana David, and then came back and he caught a sloppy track. He won the Derby. The last Lexington horse was Charismatic, who was, Pletcher's mentor, Dwayne Lucas, trained him, and he ran in the 99 Lexington, beat Yankee Gentleman after a fourth in the San Anita Derby, and came back off that and won the Derby at like 29-1.
Yeah, but so. didn't Disarm run like third in the Lexington last year, and then ran a good race in the Derby? He didn't win, but he ran fourth.
He definitely ran a good race. Yeah, and he wasn't even really trying to win the Lexington because he had points. He just needed to pick up a few more. So yeah, it was first mission Arabian Lion, and then Disarm was third in last year's Lexington, and you know that race used to be run. Before the Bluegrass, and then there was a period like Strike the Gold and some horses ran in the it was a 49er and Risen Star. They bypassed the Bluegrass and ran in the Risen Star to get Lexington to get an extra week's rest. But I was at Keeneland when Swale infamously lost the Lexington Stakes before he won the Kentucky Derby for Woody Stevens in like 84, and he caught a real sloppy track, and some Bernie Flint horse got out there and beat him, and then you know he came back and won the Derby, and he won the Belmont Stakes brilliantly, and he was set for a huge rest of his career if he hadn't died tragically, you know, of like a heart attack or something.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a, by the way, 1984 when Swale won, I was in 10th grade, and I left on my answering machine. I had my own phone in 10th grade, which is just sick to begin with. And I left a message for anyone who was interested that Swale was going to win the Kentucky Derby. I left that on that Saturday in case there were ever, you know, for the throngs of people that were going to be calling the 10th grader in Southern California to find out who he liked in the Derby. I gave him out on my answering machine. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, phone lines are still open. If you're on the phone right now, hang on. We'll get to you right after the break. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free past performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park with live thoroughbred action Friday through Sunday and simulcasting 7 days a week. Join us on track for weekend stakes races, dine trackside in 10 ponds with an elevated view of the track, and grab a cool cocktail in the Carousel Club. For reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Top Flight. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully, your hour HRRN Nation to call in, talk about whatever you want. World of Thoroughbred Racing, number to get in is 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. Back to the phones we go, James. Craig in California, welcome to the show. Hello, Craig, are you there? I think we lost Craig. Hopefully Craig will call back. James, all right, so we talked a little bit about what we saw in the Fountain of Youth. You mentioned that you thought the Gotham was a good race, although it was on a sloppy track. It's been kind of a weird three-year-old year altogether, my friend. We've had horses that were big favorites that have run poorly in some races, like Fierceness did. We had big favorites that we thought, we had races that didn't come together because of scratches here or there. We've had several big races that were run on tracks less than fast, including the Risen Star a few weeks ago. And you mentioned the Gotham and things like that. It's kind of one of those things. I think if you have a really, really strong opinion on somebody, you're going to get paid, because I just can't see anyone being a strong favorite at this point for the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, I think that by this point, you know, early March or approaching mid-March, you know, I think it's been easier to like formulate opinions on these horses with only one prep race remaining for most. But this year, it seems more so that this final prep is going to mean everything. It just really is. And there's a lot of you don't expect to be exiting races like the Fountain of Youth and other races with more questions than answers. And that's been the case this year.
Yeah. And I don't know what we are going to get from this weekend's Tampa Bay Derby. And we can talk a little bit about that now. It's the lone Kentucky Derby points qualifier this weekend. It's a really competitive field of 10 going in the Tampa Bay Derby, but I would say going in, none of them at this point look like they're really the top three-year-olds in the country.
Yeah, I think that's fair for sure. I mean, you look at you've got some, potentially, nice horses. And I think there's more intriguing faces in there, more depth than there was in the Sam F. Davis. But obviously the horse to beat is coming back from that race, No More Time. And in that race, he flashed to the front when the gates opened with Paco Lopez and sped wire to wire. But I thought he just received like really token pressure that day from a pair of horses that gave way pretty readily. And if Agate Road hadn't been like last or next to last, slow starting and way far back on the far turn, he was really gaining on him. So that race didn't come back fast from a, speed rating metric. And, so he still has something to prove. And now in the Tampa Bay Derby, No More Time gets Javier Castellana, who takes over as the jock. His trainer said that, Paco Lopez was committed to Hades, the Holy Bull winner. So they're going to have Castellano. I don't know if he'll be as aggressive as Paco, and I think there's more speed in this race. So he could be sitting second or third this time, Bobby. And just from a betting perspective, I want to take him on at short odds. He's 7-5 on the morning line, No More Time.
See, now I'm not sure whether you like No More Time or not. I think that's a weird excuse the trainer gave for replacing Paco Lopez, because Hades and No More Time, very likely are not going to see each other unless they both run in the Kentucky Derby. If Hades doesn't win the Florida Derby or doesn't come close, and let's face it, if Hades runs against Fierceness and Dornock and possibly a couple others, there is no guarantee he's going to be a win contender in that race, or even in the top three. And, you know, No More Time could win the Tampa Bay Derby. He'll probably be favored to do so, or at least the second choice in the race if he's not the favorite. That's a weird timing to make this decision.
It really is. And if you're right, if Hades runs poorly in a big field in the mid pack, he may not make the Derby field. Paco won't have a mount or be shopping for a mount. This is going to be No More Time's final prep. D'Angelo hinted, suggested, because they expect to run well and get the points to go into the Derby. But because, you know, he said he's not a big horse. He's a smaller horse, and he does well with time between the races. So, yeah, you're right. I maybe they signed a deal with Castellano, they like him better for big races. But after Paco, the horse broke like a length on top with Paco Lopez hustling him. And I think that's key to his chances, is to show speed. And you go to Javier Castellano, I question whether he'll be as fast from the starting gate.
All right, phone lines are open. If you'd like to give us a call, 888-966-4776 is the number. James, we talked a little bit about the Tampa Bay Derby. They've got several stakes on the undercard as well. Where is your best bet of the weekend?
My best bet, they have four. I think they're pretty good. They're really good stakes. You got the Challenger, which is, I guess, Skippy Lockstocky, maybe not the deepest field, making a title defense. But the Hillsborough on turf came up super deep and with a really nice field. My best bet comes in race 10, which is the Grade 3 Florida Oaks at a mile 16th on turf for three-year-old fillies. I like number 12, Whitwater Sand, who is coming, who's making her first start on turf for Mark Cassie. This Whitwater Sand broke her maiden first time out on the – I loved her Tapeta form last year. She broke her maiden the first time out on Tapeta, and two starts later, she won the Mazarine, the Grade 3 Mazarine Stakes at Woodbine, and beat a filly, Tripolina, who was coming off a convincing win over males in the Display Stakes. She was odds on that filly, and Whitwater Sand, beat her pretty handily that day. Got a speed number that's higher than any of these rivals have earned. Cassie brought her back on dirt. He gave her a shot on dirt in the forward gal. She didn't break well. She ran six. That race a throw out. Her second dam, multiple graded stakes, like winning turf, all these group and graded turf stakes winners in her female family. She loves synthetics. She's going to make a seamless transition to turf, and she's got tactical speed. I like number 12, Whitwater Sand, at 8-1 in the Florida Oaks.
All right, taking a swing for a nice price in the Florida Oaks, race number 10 on the Tampa Bay Derby card this coming Saturday at Tampa Bay Downs. I will actually be there live. Looking forward to playing some of the races at Tampa Bay Downs. Don't play them on a regular basis, but watching a lot of replays, trying to figure out which way is up with some of these races. You mentioned Skippy Longstocking running and trying to defend his crown in the Grade 3 Challenger. Boy, what the heck happened to him in the Pegasus last time up? He was sitting close up, and by the time they got to the half-mile pole, he had really thrown out the anchor, and I don't even think he finished the race. But if you somehow have an excuse for that last race, speed figure-wise, he certainly is the one to beat and won't be a big price.
He definitely is the one to beat off of numbers, because that Charlestown Classic, was arguably, I thought, his best race of his career, where he just schooled him on the front end that in his, next to last start last year. And then he came back and ran a solid third at Cody's Wish and National Treasure and the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and got a good number. That was a fast race. Looked to be in good form. He got bet a little bit. One thing for certain, though, he drew way outside at post 12. He didn't make the front end. He was up there, but he just stopped and was vanned off. But he's come back and worked like three or four times for Safi Joseph. And I don't know about you. You might have an opinion on one of his five rivals, but I took a look at him, and it's hard. I could see him not running his A race and getting beat, but it's hard for me to pinpoint which one of them is going to beat him.
All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, still plenty of time to call in, so give us a call, 888-966-4776. That's 888-888-966-4776. HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully, Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Please join me in welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher.
Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito on Trainer Talk.
Welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program.
Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us.
Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott here on Trainer Talk.
Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Sirius 162, XM 207, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully, every Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Your hour to call in and talk about horse racing. 888-966-4776. Out to the phones we go. Charles in Mississippi, how's it going, my friend?
Just, you know, getting ready for that weekend, Bobby. Just getting ready for that Oaklawn Park weekend, buddy.
Pal, they got 4 days a week of racing throughout the month of March. I'm surprised your weekend didn't already start.
Well, my wife wouldn't let me go today. She said I couldn't go till tomorrow. So, you know, sometimes you get the curfew put on you, Bobby. Sometimes you just get that curfew put on you.
Yeah, I'm well aware, pal. I wouldn't say tell my wife I was going to the Tampa Bay Derby this weekend well in advance. I asked her if she minded if I went to the Tampa Bay Derby months ago.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be a real competitive race, and you know, Tampa Bay usually, I think it'll be a little unpredictable this time. That's a tough track for me, Bobby. I mean, it's not like Oaklawn Park. You know, I've been to more races at Oaklawn Park. Let's see, 2, 3. I think I went there 61 years to Oaklawn Park. And I just know how the track runs. I know horses that fit the track. I know jockeys it's a different, you got to know the track. It's like sometimes when I go up to New York, and you know, those guys know, those handicappers up there and the players up there, are, they don't give you nothing. I mean, you know, they don't give you nothing. In other words, it's tough handicapping up that way, buddy, to find things. But one of the things I don't understand, tell me why you would run a great maiden and first level allowance in California for $60,000. I think maiden claimer, I mean maiden special, get $61,000 in California. Isn't that correct?
That's about right. Now, I know where you're going with this, as opposed to running somewhere like Oaklawn or Churchill or New York.
Where you're going to get 84, the winner's share is $84,000 for the maiden, $84,000 for first level allowance, okay? And you look like a guy like McPeak. That man came in there this year. It was like armed robbery without the gun, okay, buddy? You look how much money that guy's taken out of that track. And
but
why?
If you live in California and are based in California, it's easier to win in California than shipping to Oaklawn.
James, four horse field, five. Come on, James.
No, but that's what he's saying, Charles. He's saying if you have a horse out there, you only have to run against four or five other horses. You're not running against 10 and 11 other horses.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've got a top level horse that you want to.
You're talking about maiden and allowance races, though. Those horses per se, you know, the good stakes horses ship all around, you know, can ship all around. But, I mean, it's just a little bit hard for a lot of these trainers that are based at Santa Anita just to pack up a bunch of horses and ship them there because there's a big expense involved and they need to do well. And, you know, sometimes you don't.
How come Fletcher doesn't have a string there?
Well, because he's like in the winter, he has a home base and a training facility, and he has all of his horses under his care there.
By the way, he is running two horses in the Beholder Mile on Saturday at Santa.
Yeah,
Anita.
I'm intrigued by that Green Up. By the way, I like that mare's. I like her chances to improve it this year.
Hey, Charles, I got a question for you. I know that you pay attention to Oaklawn more than any other track right now. Featured race on Saturday is the Grade Two Azari. If Hot and Sultry breaks alertly on Saturday, is it all over? Does she win?
I would like to say she would, but she to me, sometimes she just lets you down, Bobby.
They all do.
There's some speed in there. We'll see if she runs faster and wins. I mean, one thing's for certain. And those last couple of, or especially in that race, two starts back, but she's gotten away with some of her races with some pretty, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but, she is two for two at Oaklawn.
Bobby, one thing about Oaklawn Park, like I have an advantage over you and James, y'all got to make y'all's picks on Friday. You know, sometimes I can change my mind unless I'm in a pick three or pick four. Or just that morning and see how the track's running. It's just like I told you, man. So sometimes it's like the day at Aqueduct. You know, the first call, the horse won, all eight races? I mean, it was just, you know, all you had to figure out was the first horse that, you know, could hit that timer. You know, I mean, it's just some days it's just like that. You know, and Oaklawn Park can really run very inside speed favoring. Inside speed, especially like that mile distance, man, you can hold on to yourself, buddy. I mean, you can hold on to yourself. But
do you like Timberlake for the Derby, Charles, off of the Rebel win?
I like Mystic Dan. I'm going to see how Mystic Dan runs. He's been in the flesh. When I saw that horse at the Southwest, man, it was just impressive, buddy. You know, that horse, the stride the horse had, you know, I think Timberlake's got to improve a couple of lengths. You know, I had Timberlake, and, you know, I was very lucky when, and I called Bobby that Friday. I had a horrible Friday, and Timberlake, I had him in that pick four that last day. I was lucky to win that race, buddy. You know, he just wins it in like what by a diminishing neck, Bobby, maybe a head.
Timberlake?
You know, he didn't. Yeah.
No, he won by a couple lengths. He won going away in the end. He went real wide, and, it, you know, he didn't get there early, but he won sort of easily.
Yeah, but his speed figure, he didn't show that much improvement.
No, he didn't.
That's what, you know, I look at improvement. That's what that Mystic Dan, man, when that, I'm telling you, don't go to sleep on that horse. Don't go to sleep on him, buddy, because I really think on a dry track, he's going to be a better horse, guys. You know, but we got all spring to do that. I'm just trying to get the track tomorrow and come out alive, mm-hmm. you know.
But right, I'm going to tell you what, Charles. Drive safe up there and have a great weekend at Hot Springs, my friend.
Good talking to both of you guys. Hang in there.
All right, have a great weekend, Charles. Let's go back out to the phones. Chris in New Jersey. You've got Bobby and James on the BrisNet.com call-in show.
Bobby and James, I love following Charles. How are you guys doing?
Man, you got a tough act to follow, my friend.
Well, Charles talks about armed robbery without a gun. My man Manny Franco is coming in from New York into the Azari, and he's taking the money, and he's going back home to New York. He's going to win the Azari.
All right. Well, he rides comparative for Brad Cox, who is a filly that doesn't need the lead but is usually forwardly placed in a race where, like Hot and Sultry, it looks like there's four or five fillies and mares who kind of have the same running style.
I'm not worried about it. Manny's going out there for a reason. Brad's bringing Manny out for a reason. The horse has been doing well and won the last two in New York, and I'm confident and feel good about it.
Chris, what did you think about Deterministic?
I'm glad you asked, James. I was really impressed. I played two pick fives. One pick five, I singled Petulante and went down for the count, up, down in flames.
That was a tough beat, though. I singled. He ran okay. First time.
Yeah, and the other pick five, I'm interested to see him run back. I think he's a real resource. Maybe he needed the race.
Yeah.
And then the other pick five, I singled Deterministic and spread in that Petulante race, so I hit it. So I made, you know, a couple dollars, nothing major. I think Deterministic is just going to get better. I don't think the horse is going to be peaking at the Derby. I hope they don't get Derby fever. Obviously, they're going to run the horse one more time in the bluegrass or the wood or something like that. I just think based on his breeding, that horse is going to get better as he gets older. He's got that Arrogate blood in him, and he's got on the other side, he's got
Liam's a pedigree. Map, but on the other side, he has a bunch of stamina on that female side. But I got to tell you, Chris, they're 100% planning on running in the Derby, and if he runs well in the Wood Memorial, his first two-turn start, and I give him a good chance. You were right on the money with him. That he was coming back from a long layoff. And what I liked about him was, yeah, it's a one-turn mile and it's a sloppy track, but the way he was striding out and finishing full of run, I think he looks like a freaking racehorse. And there's not a lot of three-year-olds that you could say that about so far this year. And I know his inexperience would be a matter, and he's still got a lot to prove in this Wood Memorial. But I'm saying, if he wins that race and looks good doing it, you've like since 2008, we've had, including last year, we've had three horses win the Derby off of three starts. So it's very doable, especially if you have the right horse. And, you know, we'll see what happens in this final round of preps. But I think that the race is sort of wide open now, and he's a good looking horse. And I thought the runner up ran well too, Chris.
Yeah, for his second start for Brad Cox, that horse was impressive. But I like Deterministic, and I love the way he split horses. Obviously, we want to see it on a dry track. I mean, you go back and watch his maiden. That was a professional win, and it was at 7 furlongs. I love to see those horses that can win first asking at 7 furlongs. And if Mandaloon can win the Derby and Rich Strike can win the Derby, why can't Deterministic? But what I'm saying is I think that horse is going to be peaking come Travers time. And Christophe Clement, he's not just a turf trainer. I don't need to tell you that. Remember Tonalist. I just think that horse is going to continue to get better and better and better, and excited to see it. I'm also interested to see Johnny V go out to Santa Anita. He's got a couple live mounts for Michael W. McCarthy, and then he's riding for Pletcher in the big Philly race, and hopefully he can beat Baffert. And finally, at Tampa Bay, there's few guarantees in life. The one guarantee is Chad Brown's running 11 horses at Tampa on Saturday. He's going to win at least three races, probably four. The trick is to figure out which ones. And for that pick five, I mean, I think it's a pick four. You just played the two Chads in the last race. I have a different view than you guys on the Tampa Bay Derby. I don't think it's wide open at all. I think most of those horses, if not all, would qualify for non-winners of one allowance. I think it comes down to the Chad Brown horse, and it comes down to Not This Time. So you go two by two there. You spread the first three legs, have a cocktail, get to the last two races, and enjoy your Saturday late afternoon, early evening to the fullest. Good luck to you guys. I hope you have a great weekend. I really enjoy the show. I got a tough job. I work hard, and I enjoy driving home from work listening to you guys. You put a smile on my face. You're doing God's work. Keep it up. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate the call, Chris. Thanks so much. I'm looking forward, James, to heading up to Oldsmar, Florida for Tampa Bay Derby Day. I've got a full day that day, going to Tampa Bay Derby Day at the track, then going to the Lightning Flyers game at night, and somehow we have like a 9:30 p.m. steakhouse reservation because we weren't smart enough to book a reservation early enough. So it's going to be a long day but a fun day, and hopefully we'll make enough money at the track to cover whatever we're doing at the hockey game and at the steakhouse later that night.
I'll mention one horse in the Tampa Bay Derby. Number one, Harden, is going to have to run faster than he did last time. But Todd Pletcher's won this five of the last 11 editions, and he came off of two turf races and went to Tampa Bay two turns last time. And I love the way he won that race in the stretch. And he gets Jose Ortiz. I think he's like a live long shot in there. Good luck to you if you're playing domestic product in No More Time. I just worry they're not very fast. That's my concern.
I think Chris may agree that they're not very fast, but I think he may be saying
the
other ones are even less fast is what he's saying. All right, we're going to take our final break. Still time to call in if you'd like. 888-966-4776 is the number. Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join me every Friday afternoon to dive deep into handicapping the races. We'll cover the live action from some of the biggest tracks in the country, talk to some of the major players in the game, and hopefully make a little money along the way. You can also call the show to share your opinions, ask a question or two, or maybe just vent about some bad beats. It's Betting with Bobby every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on tonight's edition of the Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Still time to call in if you'd like. 888-966-4776. James, what's going on at Twin Spires and Brisnet this weekend?
Well, first of all, we got reports for Tampa Bay Derby card. You got five stakes on that program. And check out the BritsNet social sites. We'll be sharing like PP the links for Kentucky Derby, Road to the Derby qualifiers. So look for links for the free PPs for the Tampa Bay Derby. We have past performances, expert picks, data files, and much, much more. BritsNet.com, your source of racing information. And Twin Spires, we once again, we have a 15% profit boost on all win, exacta, tries, and superfectas on every race at Tampa Bay Derby. We got promos internationally. We got a great $2,500 giveaway every Friday night at Turfway. So check the offers page there. Make sure you opt in at TwinSpires.com.
James, there's a story from Steve Anderson of the Daily Racing Forum that came out just a little while ago talking about Big Cap winner Newgate returning to the track to work after his victory in the Big Cap and possibly pointing for a trip to Dubai. And it got me to thinking, I've been thinking about it a little bit anyway, but Nisos, who scratched out of the San Felipe last weekend and would have been 1-5 at highest in the race. He was 1-5 on the morning line. Bob Baffert said that he took him out. He was thinking about waiting for the Santa Anita Derby all along, and that's what they're going to do. But Nisos has not worked now in 11 days. His last official work was on February 25th. In fact, both Muth and Nisos, their last works were on February 25th. I understand maybe
I think that's I think that's Mamum too. I noticed that about him, you know, because he had just beaten Imagination in that allowance race, and he was 2-for-2. And his last work was that Frosted Colt for Baffert was like around the 25th.
All right, so maybe the fact that all three of them haven't worked since then should be less alarming, but the glass half empty part of me, which unfortunately is a big part of me, says that if Nisos is okay and he was good enough to, you know, very likely going to be a 1-9 shot in the San Felipe this last weekend, shouldn't he be working? And, you know, there shouldn't be double-digit day gaps in his works. And, you know, maybe he'll work tomorrow. Maybe he'll work Saturday, and then everything will be hunky-dory. But until he works, I'm kind of looking at it with a little bit of a crook eye.
When a trainer scratches a horse and says there's nothing wrong with them, they usually work them that day or the next day. You know, they got them ready to go. So the fact that he didn't, the other ones, yeah, who knows what's going on. But the fact he didn't work and he was entered in the race, you know, I mean, he said that like it was no big deal. But, I mean, I think that hurt I think they would have gotten a few other stragglers in that race. You would have had a bigger handle on it because his presence scared off only four others entered. So
that's kind of popular thinking as to why he was entered in the race and the theory that maybe all along he was actually planning to come out and go in the Santa Anita Derby. If you let everyone think that you're running in that race, then that's less competition that Imagination and Wind Me Up have to run against. Listen, Bob Baffert, you know, he and his own, you know, they're not in cahoots with the track, meaning the track does what's best
they're
for the track.
Contractors.
Right. The track does. Yeah. I've said this many times and maybe in not such a nice way. There are a lot of different facets of our industry, you know, whether it's the bettors, whether it's the owners, whether it's the horsemen, whether it's the breeders, whether it's the facility, you know, the tracks themselves, you know, whether it's the state. And sadly, nobody cares about anybody else. They may say they care about everybody else, but the truth is it's me, 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 and then hopefully you guys can do well as long as me, 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 me is getting everything that I want. And listen, if I'm Bob Baffert or the owner, why not? I mean, he's not doing anything. If it's, you know, you don't have to have the same kind of excuses to come out of stakes as you do other things, and you can say anything. And maybe this not working that weekend validates him saying that he just wasn't looking right that morning, and that's why we scratched him or something like that. But he didn't.
I do like that pedigree on Imagination, and I agree. Somebody was saying earlier, I think it was Patrick, about how it was like a trouble trip, and it was a nice win. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking to get that horse, you know, off a head second in an allowance race, an easier race. But he's out of Empire Maker Mare, Magical Feeling. That was pretty classy and has a bunch of stakes winning siblings. So he's got a pedigree to really stretch out a distance, you would think. And, you know, you mentioned Asino. You know, he won the John Battaglia. And there's another colt to me. He looks really good. He's won two. He blew the break in his debut, was away last, and rallied for second. And now he's won two in a row and looked good doing it. You know, he's running on Tepeda against, you know, questionable competition. So everything will get a lot more difficult. But he looks like pretty promising, I thought, off of that John Battaglia Memorial win.
I thought interesting quotes from Brad Cox's assistant regarding Encino, that he not necessarily will head to the Jeff Ruby Stakes for his next start. They may actually opt for a traditional dirt race
to see
what they have, to see if they actually have a horse that they should go toward the Kentucky Derby with, or, you know, if he runs poorly against what could be better competition on dirt, then they know that, hey, you know, we're going to stick with synth and maybe turf with this horse going forward.
Yeah, exactly. And what the other thing about it, that is that the Jeff Ruby this year was a 3-week turnaround. I think if it had been 4 or 5, then maybe it comes more into consideration. But it's Brad Cox ideally doesn't like to run horses or stakes horses off a 3-week rest. So that makes it easier to aim for a different race. And to me, he'll be aiming for a race like the Arkansas Derby, because he's not going to want, if Timberlake goes to the Bluegrass, he's not going to want to be running against any heavy hitters.
Yeah, and by the way, that's not a guarantee. I mean, they still could run in the Jeff Ruby Stakes. And I think the runner-up, they were saying the same thing with Epic Ride, that they, you know, they are considering other avenues other than just the Jeff Ruby Stakes to see kind of what they have, to see if they really actually should have Kentucky Derby dreams.
I think that Asino has a future at longer distances, but Epic Ride, despite his breeding, I think he's like more of like a sprint middle distance type off of that race.
I forgot to ask, we talked a little bit about Locked earlier in the show. There was an interesting quote from Todd Pletcher this last Sunday when asked about Locked, and he was saying, you know, I don't know where Locked is going to run next, but he's fine now. I can only tell you he's not running in the Tampa Bay Derby. Is there, what do you think the reason would be? I mean, is it just that it was 6 days from the time they were talking to him, or why would it be, well, I don't know where he's running, but just it's definitely not there.
I think there's something up with his blood or something. I would wonder, you know, I just think they wanted to make sure they didn't throw a system all off kilter by coming back a week later, and they're better, you know, like, but better to be safe than sorry kind of thing. But, you know, he's running out of time to get a race in, and, you know, it's you know, you never see horses win a mile and a quarter, 20 horse field like the Derby in early in May off of only one prep. So it's a real disappointing a situation as a racing fan, because he's like real talented and was like a major contender this year. And, you know, he could still run in the Derby and run well. I'm not saying it's impossible, but this is certainly was a huge, enormous disappointment that he couldn't make the race.
A lot of people playing those Kentucky Derby future book wagers that are really, really wondering what in the heck is going on with this horse, because obviously he's been one of the favorites for several months as far as.
And his other horse, Speakeasy, he hit the rail and it sustained like cuts that had to be treated. So Pletcher says he's going to be out of training for at least a week. And that just, you know, then they'll be almost, you wonder how much they'll be starting over at that point. So, you know, it's a situation where I think a horse like Speakeasy, Pletcher doesn't aim too many horses at the Preakness, but he could be a horse that could take aim at that. You know, we'll see. There's still a lot of time left.
Yeah, or maybe he just runs in an A other than allowance race next year. I mean, listen, we think we know everything, but we really don't know anything. And they may have ideas already of what they're going to do, and we're just sitting here kind of throwing darts and hoping we're right. It's been a fun edition of the BristNet.com call-in show. Our thanks to all of both the callers and the listeners. James, we got a lot of good info, and I'm not sure we know anything more now than we did 60 minutes ago. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Another big day tomorrow here on HRRN. Betting with Bobby, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to have live action from Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, and Fairgrounds. Maybe throw in some Santa Anita if we have some time. And then after that, we've got the weekend stakes preview. Bob Nastanovich and I are going to look at a dozen races from around the country, including the big cards Saturday at both Santa Anita and Tampa Bay Downs. That wraps it up tonight. Good night, everybody.